fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Thursday, the 4th day of January. Our prepper tip of the day, I want to encourage everybody to sign up for a Appleseed rifle training course. It would be great to bring a child or grandchild with you, maybe a couple of children or grandchildren. It's a fun way to both learn basic marksmanship skills and learn a little bit about American history during the Revolutionary War period. The link is on my links page at thelibertyman.com for Appleseed. And it's a lot of fun, and I encourage people to do that. We have a patient waiting to greet him, my friend Steve Whitman. Steve is a gentleman who has become a prolific author, inadvertently kind of stumbled back into it with, and we'll talk about how all that happened. I have here in my hands his most recent book titled Shaker Madison, Conspiracy to Murder. It's a paperback, full-size paperback, 356 pages, well-written novel. It kept me guessing and took me in right up to the very last of 8 or 10 pages, took me in directions I really did not anticipate. And Steve, good morning. I want to congratulate you. Well done, sir.
Well, thank you, John. Good morning as well. I don't know how it is down by your way, but up here it's pretty cold.
Well, my thermometer said 9.9 degrees above zero. The official temperature locally was supposed to be 2 degrees, but it's sunny and dry. So I'll take that over a lot of snow being on the ground. So what is it? You're in Boston area?
Yeah, right now I'm in the Boston area, but well, she started already. We're getting a pretty big snowstorm here, and the temperature is about 15, but she's going to go down to about 20 below on us. And they're talking about 40-mile-an-hour winds on top of it, so it's going to be pretty interesting here for the next couple of days.
I'd say it's a good time to stay indoors and out of that. That kind of temperature can hurt you pretty quick.
Well, you know, with that kind of wind and that kind of temperature, and that's here in Mass, and up there in Maine at my camp, it's going to be even colder. And you get down to like 50, 60 below wind chill at that point.
I do private consultations, Steve, and I have people that call me up and they're and they're going to do a consultation. They're considering moving to North Dakota or Montana or someplace. And I tell them the following. First, I ask them if they've ever been in winter up there, and they say no. And I tell them, before you make this decision, I want you to spend at least 2 weeks in your chosen location in either January or February, and then make your decision. See if you can handle that.
It's funny you say that because, you know, we get a lot of people from all over the country that come up to Northern Maine to vacation for the summer. And when they're sitting out in the canoe with me and we're catching fish on a sunny sky, they get the idea that this is a great place, and they move up there to retire, okay? And they buy a little place, and all of a sudden, their first winter, they get the shock of their life because it's like living on the moon up there.
So, Oh, yes.
So,
well, it's been probably 40 years ago, the first time I traveled far enough north to see gates on the interstate highway. And I first gate I saw, I thought, this is odd. I've been driving around the country for a number of years now, but I'm seeing a gate to keep people from getting on the interstate highway and to make them get off. And then I started seeing one after the other, and then also snow fences. So you know you're in a place where there's serious winter, where they actually have gates to keep you from getting on the highway and other gates to force you off the highway. That's where you know you're in serious winter territory, don't you, Steve?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize, and we have the gates on our, you know, our cart roads and, you know, that sort of thing up here, the lumber roads and so forth to keep people off them in the winter, because the trouble is once you get on them, a lot of people, if they don't know where they're going, they get lost. And if you get lost on one of them and the car dies and the temperature drops, I mean, hypothermia is right on the way, and you can actually die out there. So, it's a real safety issue, and we're very aware of it, and we have to do that.
Okay, well, I've got a stack of your books here, but I'm not sure it's all of them. What's the how many books have you authored now at this point in time?
Six right now.
Six. Yep. Okay, six, and you've. You've had a varied career. You started out as an engineer and had your own, was it civil engineering company?
Yes, yeah, civil engineering and land surveying.
Land surveying, and you had, it got to be pretty good size. How many employees did you have before you sold it?
I was up to 35, which included the land surveyors, the engineers, as well as the environmental engineers, because we did hazardous waste remediation as well.
Well, that's a serious payroll to have to meet every week, which, of course, you did, obviously. And you had a goal for years and years to become a Maine guy, didn't you, sir?
Yes. I met a man about 40 years ago that he kind of took me under his wing and saw that I might have some potential of being a Maine guy. And I, like I said, became a student of his, so to speak. And he encouraged me to get my fishing guide license, and then eventually I got my master's. And I've had that now for about 20 years.
And that involves a lot of study and testing. It's a real deal, isn't it?
Yeah. The main guide, especially the master main guide, which allows you to do fishing, hunting, and recreation, it involves really two steps. One is a written exam, which is very detailed. And then once you pass that, then you can go in for an oral exam in front of three game wardens, and they can ask you anything they want to, and it can get pretty intense at times. So
I bet.
It's not a short process, and you really have to know your stuff in order to get it.
Well, it is, and of course, taking on that responsibility in that part of the country, it's not figuratively but literally a matter of life and death to know what you're doing out there, isn't it?
Well, you know, we've had people duck hunting, even deer hunting, going on boats and whatever to get to another isolated area to hunt. And at that time of the year, if the wind picks up, you know, the boat can capsize. You can find yourself in, you know, 35-degree water, and you only have a matter of minutes. So, and just normal stuff, even in the summer, If you get a thunderstorm and you get a rain and the temperature drops, hypothermia can happen. So there's a lot of things, you know, far as someone falling down, breaking their arm, which I had one year. I had a woman that was 90 years old that fell down and broke her arm, and I was 9 miles from the landing, okay?
Amazing.
And I had to stabilize it, you know, get her in the canoe. She couldn't walk. Her husband, who was elderly as well, he couldn't help. And so, you know, you have to keep you cool and, you know, just, you know, and do your first aid and get the people, you know, to the hospital.
Absolutely. Well, you finally got to the point where you got your credentials and you sold your business, your civil engineering business, and you bought a camp that had fallen into disrepair, needed a lot of rehab, and you set about the business of rehabbing it. What we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen, is leading up to the point where Steve's writing his first book. It was 4 years ago that the incident happened where you were shot.
It was October 1st at 4:45 in the afternoon. It's pretty hard to forget that.
I bet. So yeah. Lay out the situation from the moment you were leaving the cabin, and something very critical happened that you normally didn't do. I don't want to steal your thunder, but mention that also.
Well, I mean, we were closing up camp. It was basically the last day, my brother and I. And I had to do some work out on the gravel road, and I normally don't take my cell phone with me because it doesn't work out there, only in very few spots. But I don't know, for some reason, and I say this in the book, that I don't know if it was an angel sitting on my shoulder or what, but a little voice told me that I should take it with me that day, and it was something I never do or never did. And so I went in my camp and grabbed it and got on the tractor at the backhoe and went out. And then I was out there working, and naturally that's when my previous employee, who had quit about a year before that, showed up on the job. And unfortunately, he had a .45 with him, and he shot me 3 times.
All right, twice in the torso and once in the right hand, correct?
Yeah. And then he, when he thought I was dead, he killed himself right at the scene. So.
Now, there's a little backstory, and this is October. You started using an energy cleaner because of a back injury. Was it July that year?
Yes, it was about July, going into August, I started using it. And it was a good thing, too, because at that time I was pretty messed up. And I was even having a hard time even getting on the backhoe, never mind, jumping off it when the guy started shooting at me. But anyway, I started using it, and geez, my back, it really put me into, you know, so I was agile again, and because I had always been active all my life in sports and that sort of thing, and it was a good thing I had used it, because by the time October 1st came, I was in pretty good shape, could move, and he wasn't able to, you know, give me a killing shot, so.
Right. Right, so you shot 3 times, and you had the agility, the mobility to leap off the tractor, getting put in a tractor between yourself and the shooter, who thought he had killed you, and then he committed suicide. And that began a whole another set of events, didn't it?
Well, yes, because naturally I had no use of both arms, and there was no cell phone coverage, and I was bleeding out. Although I was trying to give myself direct pressure, my entrance and exit hole in my chest, I had only one way. I was in the middle of the woods.
Right.
So I had to get back up on the tractor with no arms, which was pretty difficult.
I bet.
And drive the tractor with my left elbow about a mile to a point where I could get some cell coverage. And finally got through. I had to treat myself for shock because I'd started passing out, and I knew, you know, if I did pass out, you know, it was over for me. But anyway, I got off the tractor. Actually, I fell off the tractor, and
really?
And dragged myself over to a drainage ditch and got my feet up, treated myself for shock, and started dialing or hitting the speed dial on my cell phone to get somebody out there, and finally did. Somebody was on the way, but what I lucked out again because some bear hunters found me, and they had some paper towels with them, and they stuffed my holes. So
right, front and back. You didn't even know you had holes in the back, but
no, they, I had forgotten all about it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And
Let me interrupt you here, Steve. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is an area so remote. Now, there's parts of the country that are so remote that you can actually go bear hunting and have a good chance of seeing and killing a wild bear. And that's how remote this place was, wasn't it, Steve?
Well, it is. We have loads of black bear around camp, as well as deer and wild turkey. I was very, very fortunate to have them come along because... you know, you can only do so much with direct pressure, and it's just right. You know, with the hole in my back, naturally I couldn't plug that hole, or you know, do direct pressure on that one, and
right.
And I had leaked out through my back there and down into my shirt, into my pants, and when the guy told me that you know you're leaking out of the back too, it really kind of surprised me, you know, and but anyway, they had the paper towel, so you know that helped save my life.
Right. Well. Let's fast forward a little bit here. The first responders finally got there with an ambulance and a gurney, and it was a long drawn out procedure to get you to the first hospital. And kind of a side note, you refused pain medication at every step of the way, didn't you, sir?
Well, yeah, I did. it's funny, when I got to the first hospital, they offered me some, and they never brought it for some reason. And then when I was transferred to the second hospital, which was about 2 hours away by an ambulance, when they operated on me in the emergency room to take one of the bullets out of my shoulder, the doctor, for some reason, forgot to give me any lidocaine or anything, and he cut the bullet out of me.
Whoa, baby.
Yeah.
It didn't give you a belt to bite down on or a 45
no.
caliber? Bullet to bite on, like they wouldn't have in a movie?
No, not even a piece of wood.
Okay. Not even a piece of wood.
Yeah, and of course, my wife is standing there, and she's watching all this, and the blood's pouring around my arm, and of course, she passes out. And the doctor, you know, it took him 20 minutes to get it out, and he tried, I don't know how many pairs of hemostats, and in fact, I think he even pushed the bullet deeper into my arm rather than you know just grabbing it, but...
Amazing.
That's in the book as well, and it's just.
Well, the first hospital was to stabilize you so that they could get you someplace to finish up, and the title of your first book came from that experience at the first hospital, where the people who worked on you appointed one of the doctors to be the representative. And what happened as you were leaving?
Well, when I was leaving, and they were putting me on the gurney to get me to the ambulance. Everybody came into the emergency room. There were like 3-4 doctors and probably like 6 nurses. And because I had a ton of people that were working on me at that time, and one of the doctors stepped forward and he says, you know, I've been elected to speak for the group. And I says, yeah. And he says, we all discussed it and we want to give you some money. And I looked at him and I kind of said, what are you talking about money? He says, well, we want you to buy us some lottery tickets. Okay. And then he went on to explain that one of the bullets had missed my heart by 1/2 inch. So,
and the title of your first book was?
Winning Life's Lottery.
That's right. That's right.
So,
absolutely.
Because it is the biggest lottery of them all. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So you went traveled 2 hours. You went through the surgical procedure at the next hospital. And you have to come back, was it 4 weeks later for a checkup?
It was about a week later, actually.
A week later? Only a week. Okay.
Yeah, only a week. About maybe 8 days. And I had to see the hand surgeon, okay, and because my right index finger, my trigger finger, was almost blown off for a shot.
Hold that thought, Steve. Hold that thought. We got a break. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the Intershelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The Intershelter dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com. Thank you. Thursday, the 4th of January. Quick reminder, if you want to get your hands on the highest quality hemp oil products, just go to my website at thelibertyman.com and check out the Cannaway hemp oil products. I think you'll be very delighted to see what they've got there. We're visiting with Steve Whitman, the author of his just-released book titled Shaker Madison, Conspiracy to Murder. I'm looking at the Amazon listing here. Paperback delivered to your door if you got a Prime membership like I do. $11.23 delivered to your door for the paperback edition. Well-written book. If you put Steve Whitman in the Amazon search box, you'll get to see all his books. And let's just go through them here. We got his first book, Winning Life's Lottery. And these are not necessarily in order of publication. A Killer in a Mist, A Tale of Terrifying Survival in the Wilderness. And then, of course, Shaker Madison, Conspiracy to Murder. Killer in the Mist 2, Return to Longbrook. Killer in the Mist 3, Revelation. Shaker Madison, The Suitcase Murders. Excellent books. And this all got started because I think I was urging you, Steve, to write an article on Tim Spencer's website, wasn't I?
Yeah, it's funny, John, how that happened. I had never written books in my life or even thought about writing books. And because of you and Tim, especially you encouraging me to write my story, a paper for Tim on his website, I wrote that, and then I wrote several more articles for Tim. And then I decided to write Winning Life's Lottery, and I found that people liked the book. In fact, I'm still getting some great reviews on it. And it made me say, well, hey, maybe I can do some more. And that's where we are today.
Absolutely. Let's see if they got reviews here. Okay, this is here's a review here. Let's see. First one comes up. This book is only 250 some odd pages and reads fairly quick. I found it very engrossing and read it through in one sitting. This being a true life story, I found it amazing that an individual could survive such a traumatic event. There was a lot to be learned from such experiences, and readers of this book can take away can take a lot away from this personal experience. Movies are made from these kinds of stories, and I think most readers will find this book inspiring and excellent reading. I have to give it 5 stars because you don't see many such vivid personal accounts of survival like this. In my opinion, it's a great book for any reader. Well, that brings up, obviously, the topic of a made-for-TV or a movie or some kind. What any interest in that area that you're aware of, Steve?
Well, it's funny you asked that. I did have or guided a fellow last summer that his brother is a screenwriter out in California. And they're looking at that book as well as some of my others, and possible doing a screenplay and, for a movie. So I don't know where it's going to go, but it's just neat that something like that can happen.
All right. Well, it is neat, and it's the way life works. Is one thing leads to another. There's obviously synchronicity working here, and that day in October 4 years ago. Everything had to happen precisely the way it did, or you and I wouldn't be talking, would we?
That's exactly right. I often say, and I say this in the book too, that there were too many things that happened in the right order, number one, okay, and happened at that point in time so that it helped me to survive. It's just things don't happen like that for no reason.
No.
There's
no,
something behind it.
They don't.
So.
And there's a bonus to you using the energy cleaner. Your lovely wife, Lynn, who had been an aerobics instructor, very active, athletic young woman, she contracted lupus and incrementally lost her physical abilities to the point where she no longer could do the aerobics. And tell us what happened inadvertently that was an unexpected bonus.
Well, naturally, we had the screen on our bed, and she naturally got the benefits of the energy cleaner, too. We didn't know it at the time until she went for her six-month checkup, like she did every year, for to have her blood tested and so forth so they could adjust her medication. And lo and behold, they discovered that there was no evidence of the lupus virus anymore.
So, amazing.
And now she is totally off the medication, and she's doing very well.
Medication, which makes you go blind eventually. Here's our bottom of the hour break. If you got a question for Steve or his books, give us a call at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our energy cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an energy cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the energy cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get energy cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the energy cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, J.R. Moore here on Thursday, the 4th day of January. Our project of finding images of continents with new coastlines is moving into the second year here. If you go to my website at thelibertyman.com, you'll find, I believe, 17 different places, mostly movies and TV shows, a couple other venues, a magazine article, a poster in a restaurant. Images of continents with new coastlines. It's a fascinating project. Could not possibly do it by myself. If you find one, an image of a continent with new coastlines in a movie or TV show, get that screen capture to me. You get your choice of any of my 5 DVDs as a thank you. It's going to be fun moving into the new year and doubling, or if not tripling, the list of movies and television shows that have images of continents with new coastlines on them. Also, of course, my website is an energy cleaner. You're hearing Steve Whitman give his testimony about how the energy cleaner saved his life. You can get the details right there at my website at thelibertyman.com, the patent application. Place your order for the energy cleaner and the mattress pad right there at my website at thelibertyman.com using PayPal, the most secure way to make any payment online, MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check. My address is right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. Keep in mind, we're now offering a 90-day money-back guarantee. As of this new year here, a 90-day money-back guarantee on energy cleaner. Toll-free our line, 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. 9543. Steve, all your books are listed on for sale there at Amazon.com, which is where I buy most of my books these days. And it's pretty easy and quick to get them, isn't it?
Oh, yes. That's one thing about Amazon. Number one, you can get just about everything on it, and they make it very easy to order the products.
They do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, my I was telling my wife, Dr. Moore, the other day about you being on the show today, and she said, honey, we need to go up there. We need to go to Maine during the season and visit Steve and Lynn. And I said, yeah, we need to do that. And hopefully we can make that happen this summer. I can't make a firm commitment. My wife's dealing with some health issues herself, and she's become the caregiver for her 96-year-old mother. So there's issues to be dealt with, but we'll see what we can do. And I would love to get up there and meet you and Lynn in person, Steve, for finally after all these years.
Well, we'd love to have you, John. And it's a beautiful place in the summer, but right about now, I wouldn't want to be standing on the lake.
Okay? I've done some cold weather training and enough to know that I can do it. Two, I'd rather not. So,
yes. It's the same old when the hairs in your nostrils stick together. You know it's pretty cold.
Take that. You walk outside. You inhale. Make that first inhaled, and the little hairs in your nostrils freeze immediately. That's when you know it's cold. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the months up there were as beautiful, or what months?
Well, we officially open right around the middle of May, and of course we have our black fly season, you know, during that month. But when it comes to be about the middle of June into July and August, it's a great time to come.
Okay.
Beautiful weather, and although I tell everybody to bring warm clothes as well, because you know. Northern Maine, it can change. So,
well, I would assume the evenings are fairly cool, regardless of what time of year it is. Well,
yes.
we'll bring if we get this trip, we'll certainly bring proper clothing. And is there a place to discharge firearms safely there?
Oh yes, we have a range. In fact, I hit the range quite often myself. And you can bring a rifle or, you know, pistols, whatever you have, and we can accommodate it.
All right. Well, that certainly adds to the desire to go up there to have that ability. Well, great, great. Your book, your most recent book, Conspiracy to Murder, it gets into. I don't want to give away too much of the story, but it gets into events that took place around 1963 in this country. All these things are things that could happen. There's enough feasibility to your story that it is plausible. I mean, it doesn't reflect history as we know it on one hand, but it does reflect a plausible reality that could happen. Was that somewhat accurate, Steve?
Yes, it is, and it's kind of funny because I've always had my thoughts on what happened in 1963 in November, and I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. And I always had my thoughts on what happened, and so the book kind of gets into that, and lo and behold, some of those papers have just been released. The classified documents from the government, and some of what I talk about in the book, or what happens in the book, is actually coming true. So
it is amazing. Yes.
Yeah, wow. It is. It is amazing, and it's just it kind of shocked me actually a little bit, because you know I said, "Oh boy," you know, it's always been a issue with me because I've always had a problem with it. You know, naturally, you know, I was at the age I can remember it very well. And it was a shock to the country.
It was. Well, I was 16 years old in high school. I could walk up to the exact place I was sitting in the high school library when the announcement came up. I could walk up there to that exact spot today when the announcement came over the intercom that the President of the United States had just been shot. I could even pull the book off the shelf of the library, and it was a book about the U.S. Army Signal Corps that I was sitting there reading because I thought it was interesting.
I think all of us can remember where we were. I mean, I was just finishing up playing a band concert. I was in elementary school, and we came down to the band room after we had played the concert, and the band instructor came in and said, "I have some bad news. The president's just been shot." And I can recall that like it was yesterday.
And that's true of everybody who was old enough to be around and remember that at the time. So it's an excellent book. I like a book that doesn't have a predictable plot, and this book does not have a predictable plot. It's not your typical murder mystery by any stretch. In fact, I rarely read murder mysteries because for me it's too much like being at work. But I made an exception, and I'm glad I did, to read all your books, Steve. And you certainly have had an untapped talent kind of languishing, unknown and untapped for decades, didn't you, sir?
Well, you know, the Killer in the Mist trilogy, the idea or the basic idea for that trilogy, I thought of it, it was back in the early 80s. I was in a cedar swamp in northern Maine deer hunting in the month of November. And it was a very cold day. It was, you know, freezing rain, that sort of thing. And I was sitting in the cedar swamp by myself, okay, having a can of sardines. And the rain was running off the hood of my jacket into the can of sardines. And I looked around, and I said, "My God, I could be on the beach somewhere rather than doing this." But anyway.
Okay.
It takes
some people longer than others to figure that out, but you did. Go ahead.
I know. And it's funny, I thought of the idea that, geez, you know, you're hunting in the woods alone, okay? You do have a gun. I had an 06 with me. Can probably take anything down in the woods you might come across, including a bear. But I said, geez, what would happen if, you know, there was a psychotic killer or a serial killer out here in the woods loose, okay? What would happen? And then I got the idea of guiding people, and that thought left me all those years, okay, until, I got shot and wrote the first book, and then that thought came back to me, and that was the basis of the Killer in the Mist series. But, you know, of course, a lot more happens than that throughout the whole series of books. The main character, Douglas Faraday, who's a serial killer in it, is a army man who served in World War II, and he has some mental issues, we think. But naturally, like in all my books, I try and put some major twists into them. And there is a major twist in Killer in the Mist.
So, absolutely, there is. It's unpredictable, I think, is a good way to characterize it. Because I am a film buff also, and so many films, so much of the time, are so predictable as to what the outcome is going to be in the plot. And it's so gratifying to come across a screenwriter that's clever enough to come up with an unpredictable plot.
It's amazing you say that, because my wife and I, we tend to go to the movies quite a bit in the off season, and when we're away from camp. And it's amazing lately how some of the movies that they're showing in the movie houses, number one, they're junk, okay? They have no plot. They're highly predictable. You walk out of there sometimes just saying, why did I spend money to see that?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so we often talk that, my God, you know, Shaker Madison, The Suitcase Murders could be a better movie than that. it's amazing now what they're producing out in the movies.
Well, they're catering to the lowest common denominator, unfortunately. That's what's going on. In fact, there's focus groups in Hollywood that intentionally downgrade the level of intellectual ability you need to enjoy the film so that they can get a wider audience. That really does go on, unfortunately.
Well, it seems that way because really most of the movies, not all of them, but most of them, there's little thinking involved on your part. Okay, I mean, there's no, you know, getting involved in the story and trying to figure out something or using your mind. Okay, it's more or less just blow up stuff and just sit back and watch a screen just, you know, explode into a million colors. You know,
well, here in my neighborhood, Steve, during warm weather, we show a free movie every Friday evening, and they're Hollywood feature films. And I've learned from experience that if I show a movie, like I'll give you one good example. I had lunch with my friend Command Sergeant Major Page yesterday, and he mentioned the film Idiocracy, which he just ordered and hasn't seen yet. And I was complimenting him on him getting the film and how much he would enjoy it. We showed Idiocracy on Friday Night Film, and I had several people complain that they were confused by the film, and there are segues and changes in the film from one venue to another venue that they just couldn't keep up with it. And I've had that happen with several films that have just a bit more complexity in the plot than you typically see these days, and I get negative feedback. Anytime I show a film that has more than the typical simplistic plot that you're used to seeing, I get complaints. So that's just the nature of our society, isn't it, sir?
Well, it's too bad, too, because, I mean, and the problem is, too, you see a lot of remakes now. It just seems that Hollywood, I don't know if they're taking the easy way out, trying to make a fast buck, and just pumping out stuff because, like I said, you know, the screenplays and the thought process behind them is really horrible sometimes, and you walk out of there, and number one, you go to a movie to be entertained.
Right.
Okay. And you want to, number one, have a good time, and when you walk out, feel good about the film, okay, or feel good about the ending or whatever. So often now you walk out and just go, oh, boy, I just wasted $10, okay?
That would be disappointing. Well, actually, if you get some snacks, you know, they make their money selling the snacks. It could actually be considerably more than that. Well, I'm watching. One of my listeners, Ted from Hawaii, sent me the documentary done by Ken Burns on Vietnam, and I watched the first installment last night, the first disc, and they did touch on the French Catholic missionaries arriving in 1858. What they didn't explain, which is critical to understanding the Vietnam War, is that these countries did. They had colonies. England, France, Germany, Italy, they would pick a minority to be put in charge of the colony and run all the administrative matters, which they didn't have that in Vietnam. The Chinese were kind of a minority, but they really weren't enough to do anything of any consequence. So they created a minority. The French Catholic missionaries converted Buddhists into Catholicism, and those Catholic converts became the people who ran the country on behalf of the French. And that began in 1858, and that was a major issue during the Vietnam War, was the French Catholics, the Catholic Vietnamese, running everything while the Buddhists were 90% of the population and knew that because they were Buddhists, they could never have a job with the government or the military of any consequence, ever. And the communists exploited that much to their advantage. And that was not covered by Ken Burns. And I was kind of disappointed in that, but I noticed that very quickly when I was in Vietnam of who the players were and what the real deal was there. And very few Americans understand this, Steve.
Well, you know, that's, you know, I've heard some of that, but not like what you just said. So I'm one of them, okay? And, in fact, I almost ended up going to Vietnam. You know, but Nixon stopped the war. But it's amazing how tidbits of information are either systematically left out or just
inadvertently, so either by design or inadvertently. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know Ken Burns and what he knew, but that was not covered. Of course, there's a number of discs left to see, and possibly they cover that later in the series of documentaries. I don't know, but it was critical to understanding the war, is that the Catholics that ran the country absolutely refused to bring Buddhists in and embrace them as fellow countrymen and give them positions of power and responsibility within the government, which was so very well exploited by the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese. But getting back to your book, your characters are well-developed and believable. They really are. Mm-hmm. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Thursday, the 4th of January, visiting with Steve Whitman, the author of Shaker Madison, Conspiracy to Murder, available at Amazon.com. My favorite place to buy books. I'm a Amazon Prime member, which gives me free shipping on literally thousands of things. Steve, I can get a bottle of mouthwash delivered to my door by Amazon, shipping included, cheaper than I can go to Walmart and buy it.
Isn't it amazing?
It is incredible.
And that's not the only thing. There are stuff that it's getting so now that I really think the brick and mortar stores are really in trouble.
They are in trouble. And yeah. Amazon's goal is to be the top retailer in the United States, and they're certainly on their way to achieving that. And it certainly takes the edge. You know, it's a 40-minute drive for me to drive to my barbershop. I mean, this is country, you know. And one way, 40 minutes one way. And so having this service really takes the edge off living out here in such a remote area. So no matter where you live, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to Amazon.com, put Steve Whitman in the search box for under books, and you'll get all his books there pop up in front of you immediately. The most recent one, of course, being Shaker Madison, Conspiracy to Murder. And there's a interesting graphic on the cover that I that's supposed to be Shaker and his German Shepherd, I assume.
Yeah.
And they're looking at something, a really big explosion of some sort off in the distance. It's actually the front and back cover is one continuous image here of a city someplace with a massive explosion taking place. Let me read the back cover here. Main detective Shaker Madison never goes anywhere without his partner Barrett, as he is a fearless investigator and stalwart friend. He also happens to be Maine's canine officer extraordinaire. The dog has a special bond with Madison, a bond that will be put to the test when Madison stumbles upon a plot connected to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. A shootout at the local bank leads Madison all the way to Russian spies and international conspiracies. Middleton, Maine may seem like a quintessential American small town, but there's evil brewing at its heart. In the investigation that follows, Madison and Barrett will match wits with the KGB, uncover a startling scheme, and find the truth behind the lone gunman, in quotes. As Madison navigates this twisty case and his own complicated love life, at least he knows he can rely on Barrett to always have his back. So I hope that stimulates some thought there and some interest in the book, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great book. It's wintertime. We have a lot less daylight, more discretionary time to sit and read a book. So it'd be a great time to get the book and sit down with a cup of hot cocoa and just jump right in there, wouldn't it, Steve?
Yes, especially if you live in New England right now, because we're going to be snowbound for about 3 days.
Well, there's some discussion about the vulnerability of the power grid up there with the strain from all this weather, and hopefully the power grid will hold up for everybody up there.
But I know from past experience, that's why I have a generator all set to go. Because, you know, about 5 years ago, I think I was on your show talking about it, that we lost power up here for 12 days.
Well, baby.
I tell you. And believe me, everybody got kind of restless, and I was even involved in a fist fight to get gasoline.
You know? Oh, no.
So, I wasn't actually in the fight, but I watched it, okay, mm-hmm. when the station opened. I mean, and that was only 12 days without power. I can just imagine if we had an EMP and be out of power for, you know, months. I could just
Amazing.
Imagine what would happen.
It would be a nightmare. Steve, let's get you back maybe in a month or so and get some mm-hmm. get some updates from you. Appreciate you being here, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for having me, John.
Okay. That's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, your essential oils now while you can, your firearms and ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please do have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless America.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.